It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Barbecue Bob. It's glad. I'm glad to be back. It's good to be back. I missed a couple weeks, one for vacation and one for an illness. And I appreciate you covering for me while we were gone.
Well, two things are sure. Number one, we're not going jopless this week.
That's right.
And number two, he even came back tongue-twisted like when he left. He couldn't say network. Welcome back, Jop, and welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. On Jethro Country with a Twist, the Jethro family of stations, the Michigan Talk Network, and of course WBRN and the internet. Thanks for podcasting the show or listening live in the live stream. You can hit the Jethro website and stream us on the bottom of the site. You can go to thegrillingguys.com. You can stream us there. You can get the podcast there. Jop, the podcast is exploding. And
it's the wave of the future,
we've never
Bob.
Paid attention to it all that much other than dumping it out there for free. And it's really catching on. I mean, every day I'm helping people download it. It's pretty cool. But Jop was on a cruise, so we went jopless thanks to Chaz for filling in for you last weekend.
Right.
And I was going to apologize for starting off the show so dour last week. Because the train derailment and all the chemicals and all that stuff. And I came in and I was gut stabbed with just everything going on. And I had a hard time getting happy and I was going to apologize, but I'm not going to apologize because that's just the state of the world we're in right now. And I guess I felt like I had to grieve and tell everybody to remember those people and try and help out somehow. And that was really what the message was.
Yeah. So let me tell you a brighter side of that story, literally and figuratively. We left on the 5th. That derailment happened on the 4th.
Okay.
We left at 6 a.m. on the 5th in a flight out of Grand Rapids.
Not a train. Okay,
no,
that's
no,
good.
A flight out of Grand Rapids to Atlanta. Okay? We're up in the air maybe 20, 30 minutes, and I got the window seat, and I look out, and the sky is completely gray. It's still dark out, right? We're above the clouds, and there's an orange dot out there. And I could see it when we're coming at it, and we flew all the way by it, and it was completely gray except for this bright orange dot
the
clouds.
It was
the fire. Mm. And, you know, when I got...
So the big mushroom cloud wasn't there yet?
No. I didn't hear about it that evening. We went to bed early because we had to get up at... Oh, dark 30 to get to the airport, right? But I didn't hear about the derailment. And then that morning, I think it was burning so hot that the sky was orange at 6:15 in the morning before the sun came up.
So you said you were going to talk about a bright spot. The bright spot was the clouds.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to make light of events that are taking place. But this is, It's an awful thing, and thankfully some people are coming to the rescue for those poor folks, because I can't imagine what it's like to have to evacuate your home, and you almost have to, because if you just stay there, I mean, one guy went there, I listened to a reporter, he was on the ground for this guy, I should have written his name down, but he came in, he's got a podcast, and he came in, and... He, because of his podcast, he raised $20,000 in January. He came into that town. I think he said he was there for like an hour, and he handed out $20,000 envelopes to the closest houses around him. And then he interviewed those people, and you should have heard those people. I mean, what a wonderful thing to do. I mean, that guy's got a heart. That's just something else. I thought I saved his podcast, but anyway, there is a fella that was just in there handing out $1,000 bills, and I apologize, I didn't write his name down, because that'd be a good one to follow, because the more people that listen to podcasts and stuff like that, the more they can monetize it. The $20,000 was the money he made in January off his podcast, so he's doing things way better than we're doing.
Well, just different different business model, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we didn't know we could make money doing this.
Right. Well, it was never really the goal. This is just a lot of fun, and so let's lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But there, Bob, I just handed you my phone. I found the picture. See that orange dot in the sky? Crazy.
Spooky.
Spooky, yeah,
so,
it was.
So I had a Wagyu snafu.
What's that mean?
Okay.
I think I know what it is, but tell me about it.
Well, you know, my best girl doesn't like to see red in her meat.
Right.
And I keep saying, honey, it's Wagyu, okay? And
that don't know, what's that mean? It's Wagyu.
Well, it's Americans. This is red Wagyu, so it's like Kobe beef without the massage.
Okay.
So it's the best beef in North America, and I just got another load of it. And so I thawed four patties. She brings it in frozen. I thawed four patties, and I put them on the grill because, you know, if you fire up the grill, you might as well do a couple extra. Well, in trying to get my wife's well done, I got mine well done.
Well, sure.
And it was so disappointing.
Yeah. Well done dries it out, and then lose the lure of the Wagyu, because if I understand it right, it's just so much better marbled.
It's so fat.
Right.
Yeah, and honestly, I didn't dry them out. I was just disappointed because it wasn't how I like it.
Yeah.
And it felt like a sin to do Wagyu medium well or whatever it came out.
Yep.
So that was my big cursed grilling of the, and I'm trying to stream it for the people that follow, and my streaming kept cutting out. So I apologize if you were trying to watch that. It's very short. You just see burgers going on the grill a couple of times, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, most of the time when you're doing those, I see your deck as you're walking between this and that.
And I'm talking as I'm doing it, saying, okay, this time I'm going to keep the camera on the food. And then, of course, it goes out.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Third time's a charm.
Yeah, well, maybe it's our age and our lack of technical expertise.
Well, and only having two hands.
The intent
makes it really hard.
Right.
I think a GoPro would be a great way to do it, you know, where it's just on your hat.
Right. Well, then you'd have to be looking at what you're doing, and most of the time you're not doing that either. So,
well, I was looking at the ice in my woods as I pulled the smoker out for you this morning. I'll tell you what, this weather is crazy, and you wanted to do some. We keep Jop smoker at my house because he doesn't have the driveway space, and I have plenty. So I went back there early, knowing we got to come in here, and I'm back there. And, of course, it's like a sheet of ice, even in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. And this thing is frozen into the ground. So I got out there, fortunately, early.
Yeah.
Because
did you hook a gator onto it or anything?
No, I took the Jeep because it's heavier. And
okay.
I didn't want to fight it, and I knew I'd have to hook it up to the Jeep anyway. And holy cow, I'm glad nobody was filming that.
Yeah.
Because the man went down.
Yeah, right. It happens.
So
it happens.
Speaking of man, it is time to man up, put your daddy boots on. If you've been laughing at preppers, stop laughing at them and start getting your stuff together. The market took an absolute hammering. The stuff I've been warning about, it's here. So get your food stocks, get your pantries loaded up. What I've been warning you about, it's here. And you want to have a happy grilling summer as much as possible. It'll probably be a little bit harder to be happy when you watch your portfolio get hammered like it's fixing to and starting to and has been. But you at least want to have some good food for the grill, and might be the year to start a garden.
Yeah, well, you got to have space, you got to have technique, and, you know, a desire.
You got a great yard for a garden.
Yeah, right, yeah. All I've got is a big dog patch is all I've got. I got a couple of big horses that are fenced in, and they tear up the yard pretty good, but they play hell with the squirrels, though, I'm going to tell you that.
Well, you could put some chickens back there.
Right, yeah, right. They'd be good for the dogs to eat, but I don't think I'd get a piece of it, so, but anyway.
Yeah, so this show is going to be all about chicken on the grill or smoker. So what's the matter with chicken?
There ain't nothing matter with chicken.
That's right.
Not a thing. But anyway, you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We babble on back and forth. Maybe we'll get to some of these recipes, techniques, and equipment in the next segments, and we'll stop with the political banter. But
I didn't know you were going to get biblical.
You know what? I didn't realize we were going to get political. Oh, yeah, I did, because you do that every time. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys on Jethro FM. It's Country with a Twist, and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. It's country with a twist. Good to be back, Bob. I took a couple week hiatus, one of them by design and the other one by COVID. So, but I'm back and everything's good. And let's talk a little bit about grilling some food. You brought the Goodwin smoker. As you mentioned in the last segment, you store it over at your house for me just because you got the room and I don't. But I've got a birthday party. It's a surprise, so the person's name will remain anonymous at this point, but I'm cooking for a birthday party today for 100 people, guy's 60th birthday. And
I guess he knows who he is.
No, no, he doesn't. He really doesn't. But at the end of the day, just doing the classic barbecue. I've got butts, I've got beans, I've got cheesy potatoes, and coleslaw
nice.
Is what we're doing.
God,
so,
that sounds good.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and it'll be a good time. But here I sit at, you brought this thing over. My driveway's frozen solid with 2 inches of ice on it.
I'm glad you were there to help.
Right, and that big iron smoker, you were talking about shortages and things. I went over to Gordon Foods, and I bought a bag of charcoal. They only had one. I needed two, so I got to go to another spot and get the second one. But there's things like that that seem to be out there a little missing.
No, Job. Don't go getting political
I'm not gonna.
You always do.
I'm not going to. But my point is that it's going to take extra heat. It's going to take extra heat to get this smoke done.
Yeah.
Because I've got a half a dozen butts that I'm doing for the 100 people. And then I'm going to do the cheesy potatoes in the oven.
You know,
but
I might have an answer for you.
What's that?
I did some deep frying here maybe last weekend, and it was really cold. Well, might have been 2 weeks ago even when you left. But, I have several different types of, I'd call them vent-free heaters, things you can put on a 20-pound tank.
Yep.
One of them, I think you've seen it at deer camp. It stands up and goes sideways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I stood that up next to my deep fryer because I couldn't hit my 350, and I heated up the
side of the,
yes,
the reservoir.
Man, that just spanked it right up. I got there in like minutes. I was struggling trying to get to 350. I put that on, and like in a matter of 5 minutes, I was at temp.
Yep.
And then I could start regulating my flame. But frozen food did that for me. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm thinking something like that for your smoker, no matter what you're burning. I just did it because you and I have been playing with ways to get that thing warmer in the winter. And this, I'm telling you, if you have, most smokers have a burn box and then your smoke chamber or your oven, whatever you want to call it. If you have a vent-free heater, and especially if you're blocking the wind a little bit, you can put that on that bake oven portion of it, and I'm telling you, you'll get your temp up in no time at all.
Well, it's an alternate heat source,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It just takes I think it's a Coleman, and you've all seen them, I'm sure. They go on a tank, and they just stand up, and they go sideways. It looks like it could be a light or something. But
right, yep. Round thing. Yep.
It's about 20,000 BTUs, and I'm telling you, that thing really cranks the heat out to the point to where I got a reminder of how hot it was when I went to grab my deep fryer lid.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you got to have a separate tank for something like that. And that's part of this whole cold weather smoking and grilling is you're going to need extra
improvise.
Yeah, to make it work. But
so I found a cool chicken recipe online. I can't remember the website, but I did rip it off. And it was a bacon-wrapped jalapeno popper. And because of the pictures the guy took, they looked so good, I'm going to be doing them tonight for a party I'm going to.
So it's a bacon-wrapped jalapeno popper with chicken.
Yeah. So you get chicken breasts, and you basically, you pound them out so that they're flat.
Thin?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And you take so you take a jalapeno, and you could do it a bunch of different ways, but they're using cream cheese in the middle and putting a slice of Colby Jack on the chicken breast before they set the jalapenos on it. And they're stuffing the jalapenos and taking that whole chicken breast, laying it on a bacon weave, putting these flat pieces of chicken on it and rolling the whole thing up and then smoking it as one big log. And I'm telling you, it looked cool as heck. So if you take a bacon weave, you pound out a full-size chicken breast so that it's nice and long.
Thin?
Yeah, thin, and you're going to have to cut it down the middle in half to make it long enough because
chicken breast's not as long as bacon.
It's not only that, but it's too much chicken, so you want to make it stretch to fit your wrap. And then they put cream cheese inside the jalapenos after you gut them, and then
boats or yeah
probably. No you do just core them
okay
core them out stuff them with some goat cheese or cream cheese whatever you prefer and then so set the jalapeno put the chicken breasts on the initial part of the bacon weave right if you have a front of it you lay your chicken on that you set your jalapenos on that and then you wrap it and you roll it up
in the bacon weave
also I forgot before you put the jalapenos on, you lay slices of cheese on the chicken breasts. So your jalapenos are actually wrapped in chicken, wrapped in cheese, stuffed with cream cheese. So you got chicken, bacon, cream cheese, and Kojak.
So it starts out with bacon, then a thin layer of chicken, then what, like
Kojak?
Okay, so slices of it,
yep.
I mean little thin
yep.
slices. And then you set your jalapenos. Is it just one row of jalapenos?
Yeah, it's going to take like three jalapenos maybe or four.
Okay, because I'm just thinking when you roll that up, that bacon weave is going to be big.
We
roll up a whole fatty in bacon weave. That thing's the size of a softball.
And this will turn out pretty big too. Not quite as big as a fatty, but real close.
Okay.
And just gorgeous. When you slice into it and you see that Kojak come out and the cream cheese come out and then the jalapeno in there. It's just love, baby.
Okay,
it's just
so
love.
Then you're gonna roll that thing up, and the two ends are gonna overlap. And when are you smoking that or grilling it? You're smoking it, right?
You can bake it, smoke it, grill it, offset smoke it.
Okay,
offset grill it. I mean, whatever you want. But when you're setting those jalapenos down, if you put the one end right behind the next one, the tip of that other jalapeno kind of plugs up the hole on the other one, and you keep them intact that way. So when you do cut into it, you got a gusher.
Okay.
And it's just going to be gorgeous.
Right. And you've not made one of these yet.
No, I'm making one this afternoon. My neighbor, the electrician, you've met James Roush. He's been over to the house before.
Yep.
He's moving to the other side of the state.
You can't seem to keep a neighbor. I'm wondering if it has something to do with the neighborhood or these people's jobs, right? This is like the fourth or fifth neighbor I've known that lived by
he's
you.
He's had that house for 20 years. I'm sorry to see him going. But
I don't know.
His wife lives over there, so you got to follow the wife's family, I guess.
Right, I guess. Well,
it's
whatever excuse he told you, I think he's just trying to be nice to you.
Okay.
But anyway, let us know next week how that thing turns out because it's has all the ingredients to be really good. Are you putting any like barbecue seasoning or anything on that chicken, you think? Or
there's I'm gonna post this recipe. There's some cumin, some black pepper, there's some spices you put on the chicken before you wrap it, but
right,
it looks pretty good.
All right,
you could go in a million different directions. It was the basic composition and the layering that I thought was pretty spectacular. It's just one we haven't done yet.
Right, and always use thin bacon. Don't use thick sliced bacon on something like that. It just, the bacon won't be done before everything in the middle is overdone. But coming up next, whether you want to spatchcock it or drive a beer can up its butt, we're going to talk about chicken. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Jethro FM, country with a twist. All over this mid-Michigan. We appreciate you tuning in, or even on that World Wide Web and our podcast. We just and thanks for taking time to spend the morning with us. But anyway, as we move around the grilling situation, this time of year when it's cold, you just got to take a little extra time. But some of the good old-fashioned recipes that we do year-round, you certainly can do in the winter. And the next one is a spatchcock chicken. That sounds dirty. It's not. Basically, it's
not until you made it dirty.
Well, it's a political chicken because you cut the backbone out of it, and then you still hope it turns out good. And that's what we're going to be doing. If you've never spatchcocked a chicken, basically what you're doing is you set it on a whole chicken, set it on its breast.
Why did Mitch McConnell just pop
right
in my head?
set it on its breast, and you'll see the little tail on one end, and the neck is on the other, and you're going to go right up both sides of that spine with a pair of poultry shears.
Yep.
And cut that backbone right out of it. Well, what's going to happen is it's going to flop open a little bit, and you're going to see where the ribs were connected to
the
backbone.
So the chicken's already dead at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Skin. He's still got his skin on, but he's been plucked. Yeah. And then that'll open up a little bit, and you'll see the ribs. They look like fingers.
Can I take a time out here?
Yeah.
So what kind of chicken would you use for that?
A whole chicken, I guess, is what I'm talking about. I mean,
roasting
chicken.
I might want to go to a roasting hen.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. But you want the whole bird because...
For whatever's in the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Boy, I digress. We were on a cruise 2 weeks ago, man. You get to
Third
Cozumel,
world.
Jamaica... There's chickens running everywhere around these places. I mean, they're like squirrels we have here. There's just chickens everywhere.
Yeah.
But there's fines, big fines, if you like try to harvest one, I guess.
Oh, that's like horse wrestlers.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But anyway, back to this chicken. So the ribs are going to be sticking up like little fingers. Take a fillet knife or a really sharp knife that's got a little ply to it.
Boning knife.
Right.
Perfect.
And go right down beside those ribs. And you're going to want to get right down to the bottom and then take your shears and nip them off because you want to get that rib cage out of there. Because the idea on this is that once you get the rib cage out in the backbone, you can lay it flat on your grill. And this does two things. Before we grill it, we're going to season it on the inside and the outside. I might take a little extra virgin olive oil, a garlic from like Old World Olive Company, or maybe a Herbs Provencial.
Whatever you like.
Whatever you like. But put a little bit of oil on that skin and on the inside because it makes your seasoning stick really, really well. And then you're going to get a grill set to what? Medium high?
Especially the inside. I don't care so much about the skin side. There's going to be a lot of fat there. I want a lot of oil on the inside on that raw meat. So, because when I do a spatchcock, I always grill that part first.
Yep.
So my skin is reducing through that meat as it's melting fat. It's covering the meat. And then when you do flip it over so that you can crisp up your skin and cook the other half, you've gotten rid of a bunch of that fat. You'll also have maybe less chance of a flare up that way.
Right.
And you could even, if you wanted to, when you flip that, it'd be a good time to baste it again.
Yep. with your, or put some more seasonings on it, or
and
or
oil. Oil is the thing for that exposed meat.
Yeah, so this thing's laying on its belly with the cavity open to the flame. I'm going to use a medium heat. You don't want to burn it, but you want it to cook through. And if you were the next technique that we're going to cover is a beer butt chicken. This spatchcock is going to cook in about 30% less time, because what you've done is you've taken surface area. And you flatten it out. Yep. There's not the thick breast that's there.
You're gonna pick up the heat off the grill a lot better. You're spreading it out and you're cooking more evenly. And that's the beautiful thing of it. But here's one thing I'll tell you is when it's on your butcher block, take a look at it and see which way you want to position those legs. Because however they're positioned when you set them on your grill, that's the way they're staying. You don't want one going left and you don't want them both going left.
Right. So it looks like. You kind of splay them out, and they kind of turn at about a 45-degree
angle.
And
you can turn them in or turn them out, but it's your presentation when you're done, because you're going to bring this baby in on a platter, and it's going to be your pride and joy. It's going to look really cool. And this is something you want to do for people maybe who have never had it, because you can put all kinds of herbs on it and stuff when you're done and garnish it and dress it up with, you know, whatever you want to do.
And you carve it like you'd carve a chicken. You're going to be taking slices on the bias off the breast. Usually, because the joints in the thighs where they're connected to the body, as they cook, they'll pop open, and all you do is just cut the skin away, and you got a full leg quarter,
thigh and drumstick,
thigh and drumstick that you can serve to somebody. So you get breast slices in that thigh and drumstick. It's a great presentation.
It is.
Feed three or four people.
So you've all heard of beer can chicken. If you don't have a holder for it, they sell them all over the place, but it's basically a stand that holds a can.
Yep.
And you don't have to use a beer can, and I don't. I use a soup can because I don't like cooking with aluminum, for one thing. And I don't use beer. I use orange juice. And I'm also going to put some fruit. So basically, again, the whole roasting hen, you don't have to oil up the inside because you're going to steam it. But the outside you want to oil up, and you want to season the heck out of that skin. And then put
a little heavier salt rub makes that skin crisp up a little bit.
Good point. And so I want to put a piece of fruit in the neck portion if it's going through so I can hold that steam in. The first time I did this was when I was in the grill business, and I had just brought a line on that was the knockoff from a Holland grill. We used to say it was a Holland grill on steroids, and it was called the Phoenix. It's now made by MHP over in Wisconsin, but Illinois. So that thing was a burner pan above the flames. So it kind of baked your food, but the Phoenix would actually get hot enough that you could grill on it. So I learned about this beer can chicken thing, and I bought one of the holders, and I did the can of beer the way they did everything. And when it came out, it stands upright. So again, great presentation. I opened up that Phoenix to take a temperature probe on it, and I remember like gasping when I saw the beauty of this hen just sitting there. Golden brown, smoky on the outside, juicy as could be on the inside. I was just amazed at, you know, the feat I had pulled off.
Right.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
And I became a fan, you know, because when I took it out and set it on the table, everybody's looking at it and it's like, oh my goodness, that looks like a meal. You know, it's too pretty to even cut.
Right.
But then when you cut into it, what you find is that, yes, you did get it savory, smoky on the outside and crisp, but the inside has been cooked almost with steam. You've been like basting it with, I used orange juice, and it gets so juicy on the inside. Oh, I can't tell you how wonderful it is.
Yeah. And that the key to that is don't fill your juice can if you
half
see it
full.
Half full, so it can get hot enough to boil and steam.
And you could use apple juice. You could use lemonade. You could use lemonade. There's a great one.
Yeah.
You could put anything in it you want. Jägermeister might work. Nah, just kidding.
But where I was going is you got to plug the neck hole.
Yep.
okay? Because when it sets on that can,
you
it's upright.
You want to keep the steam in there.
Right, and a little like one of those cutie tangerines works really well, or if you're using lemonade inside,
it's
do
like
a lemon.
Yeah, it's like a chicken sauna.
Right, yeah, exactly. So you've got to, but that's key to making this thing turn out right, is plugging that hole so that steam stays inside of there and cooks rather than escapes out the neck.
Well,
hole.
And it depends on who processes the chicken. Sometimes that hole's are still got part of the neck bone and you don't even need to worry about it.
Right.
But it is awful nice if you have an orange sitting on top or something like that. Yep. So when you bring it out, it's part of the presentation.
Okay. Coming up next, we're going to use some cooked chicken in a variety of recipes here because once you harvest that chicken and get it cooked, sometimes there's some leftovers, so you're going to want to use that. So maybe we'll talk about some tacos, some casseroles. It's that kind of time of year. So you're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Bob, this show, it always amazes me how fast this thing goes.
Times are flying.
When we get jabbering, and I hope it feels the same way for our listeners.
Yeah, and don't forget, check us out at thegrillingguys.com. You can like us on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at Grillin' Guy. Since Elon Musk bought Twitter, I'm back on it because he seems to be fair about it.
Right.
And I'm not shadow banned anymore. but I'm going to throw
why
a little,
that happened.
I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench into it here and tell you about something else I just did. I've got a lot of roasts left from my cow, so I'm trying to burn them up because I got another one coming in May, right? So the girl that cuts my hair is Mexican, and we were talking Mexican food, and she sounds like her mom is phenomenal. So I just, you know, I left there thinking, I really want some Mexican food. So I had a chuck roast thawed. I trimmed it up beautiful, and I roasted it. And again, I went to orange juice, and I used tajin, and I used
tajin is a
garlic,
Mexican spice. You can get it virtually any store, right?
Yep. I used garlic, and I just roasted it that way, and it's just a beautiful profile. And, of course, I poured out all the broth, and I chopped up a bunch of celery and onion and everything, and that roast turned out gorgeous. So
what'd you cook it in?
I made an Instapot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, not
you know,
a Dutch oven.
Because working, you know, and not having a lot of time. So, I let it set for about an hour in that broth, and I shredded it in the pot. I drained off most of the broth, and then I just parked it, and I got some big flour tortillas out, and I decided to do wet burritos. And I love burritos and never make them. So the gravy, the sauce for a wet burrito is always the trick because certain guys make good ones. I'll tell you a really easy way to do it. You can take some beef broth and a can of enchilada sauce and combine them and simmer them together. And I actually had too much beef broth, so I even threw in a can of tomato sauce. And I'm telling you, that burrito sauce was fantastic. And that's, to me, that's a big deal on a burrito. If you don't have, because people are all over the place with the sauces they put on burritos. They vary widely, and I've had some really crappy ones and some great ones. Back when they first came out in like the 80s, it came out in Michigan anyway, the Beltline Bar was known for its wet burrito, and they had a fantastic gravy. And when I was at Ferris, I was working at the Best Western. We had to copy that. So I just remember that whole time period. But it happens when you're old. So anyway, very easy way to do it. I won't go on about that. But we did all this chicken. So chicken tacos are a great way to use your leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're smart, and especially with the prices of things now, you want to glean as much of that meat as you can. So, you know, whereas when things are abundant, you might be a little more callous with how you pick a chicken. Well, right now, you know, you might be saving it in a little bit better way, but it's not pretty. Well, that's the perfect stuff for chicken tacos.
Right. When I start out with a taco, I am a flour tortilla guy, not a corn. Mm. Many people like corn. It's just my preference is flour. And if I had any one thing that I think is a bit unique is that I'll take and pour a little of the Old World Olive Company lime-infused olive oil just in a little cup, and I take a brush, one of those silicone brushes, and I'll get my cast iron skillet hot, and I'll brush that tortilla with that lime juice and then just throw it in that skillet about a minute on each side. You'll see it bubble up. It'll puff up, and then that's when you baste the other side and flip it over.
Yep.
But that hot lime tortilla on a taco makes
a... That's your number.
That's my number.
I'm a corn guy. I tried out a new Mexican restaurant. I was complaining about it last week. I won't mention who it is, but I think they thought they were serving street tacos. But it was one corn tortilla shell, uncooked, and then they put a bunch of wet sopping chicken on it. The other one had wet sopping beef on it, and you couldn't even pick it up. It went through that corn like, you know, something through a goose. Well, if you're going to do street tacos like that, you might consider lightly browning them or doing something to toughen up that shell, or at least use two.
Right.
Now, what I like to do is I like to put one on a fry pan, put some queso cheese on it, and then lay the other one on there. And
kind of glue them together.
Lightly grill it. Yeah. And then now you've got two corn shells and you've already got your cheese on it. So you can just hit it with your fish or your chicken or your meat. And you don't need to worry about, you know, putting a bunch of shredded cheese on top. That's just going to fall in your lap anyway.
Right. Yeah. The first bite you take. Right. Yeah. Gluing those things together does make a difference.
I do know that there are people that also use a flour tortilla. They'll spread bean on it and then they'll put one of those pre-built crispy taco shells that I think, you know, certain companies sell. Taco Bell might be one of them. But, you know, the problem with the crispy corn shells is they break.
Right.
So if you put some bean on a flour tortilla and wrap that corn, it's a wonderful.
Well, and I think people like the crunch.
Yeah.
You know, that's what those corn shells like you're talking about. It's just a texture thing when you take a bite that is like, ooh, that's a taco.
Yes.
Right? And,
yes.
And so I get it. And I enjoy that.
I do too.
Yep.
But they do explode on you.
Right.
So there you can have your flour and your corn together.
Right.
So my wife makes something with chicken breasts that is fantastic. This is not a grilled item. You could throw it on the smoker if you wanted to, but basically you take your chicken breasts and you kind of cut them in half so they're kind of squares or smaller pieces, and you butter up a baking pan and you set those chicken breasts in there and you put Swiss cheese on top and then you fill it with, it's a mixture of chicken broth or chicken gravy and a couple cans of Campbell's cream of chicken soup is really what she uses.
Mm-hmm.
You pour that in there and then you put a bunch of stuffing mix on top or breadcrumbs. The stuffing mix is the best. And then you bake it. And
just the dry stuffing mix? And it gets its moisture from the soup?
It absolutely does.
Okay.
Now, this recipe I looked up, they actually mix them together. And I'm going to try it that way, too. But she always does it so that the stuffing is on top. And it absorbs a bunch of that Campbell's soup. And that is my kids still, when they come home, they ask her to make that. And you can find it online. I just did a search for Swiss chicken casserole, and I found tons of recipes like that. And that's just a fantastic chicken recipe. And chicken's like really affordable still.
Right.
If you get it on sale, those chicken breasts you can get for like $2.50 a pound.
Yeah, it's ironic that the eggs are $5 a dozen, but you can still get the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of a head scratcher, but I think it's a different part of the market. I was talking to one of the
guys. Yeah, it's the back end.
Yeah, you know yeah, exactly. You know a guy named Ed from our church, and Ed is in the chicken egg automation business. And I just ask him, because he's in the industry, what's going on with it. And there's planned obsolescence for those chickens. And what I mean is they go, he said they started about week 26 and go to about 110 week, where they're actually
laying eggs. And then they turn them into dog food.
Well, no, they euthanize them and bury them. They don't even sell them, he said. That's what he told me. But anyway, when they had to euthanize, you know, like 12 million of these things because of that bird flu, the system doesn't yield that many more chickens, because it's set up, all these growers are set up to this planned obsolescence that when they have to euthanize, there's more there.
So let me see. So they're telling us that they killed these chickens because they might get the flu and die.
Well, no, this is your FDA. If one of the birds has avian flu, the whole flock can get it very quickly, so they eradicate the flock.
Eradicate the flock so they won't die. Scott, how's that? Does that make sense?
No, that's so you don't get tainted eggs. But that, you know, you can look at it any way you want. It is what it is. That's the rules that they do, whether you like them or not. But that's why we don't have more eggs, is because this 12 million birds that got euthanized, there's no way to get them back into the system quickly.
Okay, enough with the youth.
Okay.
Let's do wings.
Right? Well, we only got a half a minute.
Let's save the wings to the bunker segment. We'll do the bunker segment.
But anyway, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. The banter back and forth is real. I'm back. And it's gonna continue. I couldn't stand listening to. No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I was away, but I'm glad to be back. So be careful out there. Don't slip and slide around if you're in Michigan anyway. And we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.